The intro has been redacted. This is the news according to me. Good morning. It is Thursday morning. Friday. Thursday morning. I'm getting a day ahead. Oh, I don't want to miss a day. I'm drinking some chai latte tea with creamer in it. That's all I got to say about that. Not in a real jovial mood this morning. Just some personal family stuff that did not go so well last night. We lost a member of our family. So that's a little bit of a heavy heart this morning. But I will do the show. Sometimes it's good to just do something that reminds us that it's that life must proceed. And bring us back to a sense of at least some kind of normalcy. Speaking of normalcy, this whole the new normal thing. If there's one thing that stays the same, it is that things always change. And yet there's nothing new under the sun. All these perplexing philosophical ideas. I'm not a philosopher, by the way. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. Disclaimer, I'm not a life coach or a financial advisor. I'm not even a rodeo clown. I'm just a guy with a microphone with a lot of opinions, and if you want to, what you do with those opinions is up to you. I'm not going to take any responsibility for any of that. There you go. That is my disclaimer for the morning. Now I'm going to take another sip of my chai tea. As you sit back, relax, and listen. Now, speaking of redacted stuff, I can't do justice to this story the way the guy named Mr. Reagan, he's got a channel called Mr. Reagan on YouTube, did this morning. The show he posted this morning. Glenn Maxwell, the sidekick of the pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein, you start to connect the dots on some of these things, and it just becomes alarmingly obvious. There's too much in the form of coincidence to not see what is actually happening here. And it's, I'm not the conspiracy guy that just looks for conspiracy under every rock and thinks that they're all the paranoid conspiracy. I call it conspiracy paranoia. There is a conspiracy, and I that's what my book is going to be about. It's I don't know when it's going to come out. Who knows? I think it's just going to have to come out in several editions because there's just too much going on. I mean, by the time I get, one chapter finished, what I think is finished, that's like the next chapter is already it's being changed and rewritten because of current history. So this trial is very telling in terms of the people who are involved and the cover-ups that happen and who's involved in the cover-up. I learned something about, speaking of cover-ups, I learned something about the Watergate days, Nixon, Richard Nixon. The one who, everything that happened basically ushered in the landslide victory that was won by Jimmy Carter. And the nation has never been the same since then. Now, we have had a pendulum swing. I call it the pendulum swing that gets shoved back and forth each time. It goes further and further. And now we have radicals on the left who are doing the shoving, by the way. And the Republicans on the right not knowing exactly what's going on. It's like they're in a fight, getting beat down with their hands over their head, which just seems to be like where that's where they like to be. They like to lead from behind. And it's like they don't know which way the next punch is coming from or why it's even coming at them. In the meantime, they have no idea of what's going on around them. There's only a few of them that are actually alive and cognizant of what's happening. But I digress. Richard Nixon was a lot more innocent than even what I thought. Nixon had some personality issues. He was definitely a control freak and a narcissist to some degree. Everybody is to some degree. If you don't think you are, then you're probably a raging narcissist. Maybe you don't know what a narcissist is. But everyone has a... Because the root of narcissism is selfishness. Selfishness. There's a little shellfish in all of us. Hope you're not allergic. The selfish thing, I don't know, what am I talking about? I need some more chai. The whole, you know, being selfish, the selfish nature of man is the kind of the root of all. You know, you talk about love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Selfishness is the root of all evil, pretty much, in my opinion. It was the root cause of the original sin. It is part of the problem that man has. Mankind, people kind, whatever. Mankind has a problem with selfishness. Even being self-centered is not necessarily as bad as being selfish. Now, there's a huge difference between being selfish and being self-aware. In fact, if you are self-aware and you don't see yourself as being selfish, then I would say you're not really even self-aware. The more self-aware you are, or maybe you are, aware of the fact that you're selfish, and you're still, and you love that about yourself. I guess if you're self-aware and you realize you're selfish, I guess what you do with that is what do you do with that then? Not a whole lot you can do about it, but other than, you can be aware of it and then you can kind of try to avoid the selfishness as much as possible. But I guarantee you only probably know about a drop of your selfishness. A lot of it comes out under pressure. Or in certain circumstances that you didn't even know was there. So, the older we get, the more we realize those things, and that's why most generous people are people who are in their older years. They've been through it, and they start to understand what generosity is and what it takes to be generous in terms of you have to be deliberate about it. First, you have to be productive. You have to actually produce something or have something to give or to share. Whether you're sharing your finances, which is what some people are very good at, or you're sharing your life as a volunteer. Either way, it doesn't mean you're not selfish. because I don't know what your motives are. I have no idea. All I know is that you're giving to someone, or you're. I've seen some pretty selfish individuals working in the volunteer world. Sometimes they are the most entitled of those among us. But and I've also seen some of the most humble and generous people who are the hardest working, largest producing people among us as well. So there's a spectrum. The Ghislaine Maxwell, Ghislaine, tomato, tomato, Miss Maxwell. This is a strange case, folks. This is a really strange case. And I don't even know where to begin with this. There are so many different angles. Let's take the judge, for example. The judge in this case, they had to take a 3-day hiatus from the trial. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they couldn't even have trial because the judge had to step out of town. Oh, yeah, by the way, the judge is being appointed. She had to go to hearings to be appointed to I think this is the federal appeals court, federal court of some kind. It's the next step away from the Supreme Court. She will be a Supreme Court nominee. If the left is in charge, she will be a Supreme Court nominee. There's no question about that. She is now in that position. Now, you look at someone like Merrick Garland, who was put up during the Obama years, right at the end of Obama's term. I think it was 2007 that his name was put up. So they have these lists of potential justices. And then they have a short list, people that they're really, really looking at. They scrutinize them and they look at them. And then they pick one from that. Now, if you think that they're picking a name based on how good they will be as a judge, well, that's like a tenth of what they're really looking at. The award in this position is remember what I've always said, every show just about is about the whole political theater thing. We have this thing with the FBI, the left, everything that's going on. We put on these shows, they try to put someone in place that they can manipulate. Now, the street goes two ways here. So what they do, this is a lifetime appointment I'm talking about. So when they appoint someone into the Supreme Court, or they nominate someone into the Supreme Court and they pass, they get them through and they put them in place. This is all part of how do they pick from so many judges? Is it because their record is impeccable? Is it because they have this and that and whatever, all the qualifications? There are plenty of judges out there with plenty of qualifications. Why does that particular one get chosen? Sometimes it is because of identity politics. Sometimes it is it's just because of their gender or their sexual orientation. Yes, this has happened. Sometimes it's the color of their skin, which should have nothing to do. These aren't representatives. Okay, these people are not representatives of a group. They are discerners of the law. The law has blindfolders on. I don't know if you've ever seen the statue of Lady Justice, which I'm not so sure is, it's not necessarily a godly thing, but Lady Justice has blindfolds on. A blindfold, I guess. Blinders. And is holding us, you know, the scale in one hand, I think, and a scroll in the other or whatever. Let me see if I can pull a picture up of Lady Justice. Statue of Lady Justice. Oh, right there, filled in. Filled it in for me. See if there's a picture here. Yes, let's look at Lady Justice here for just a second. She has, oh, a sword in one hand. Okay, that's even better. A sword in one hand, the scales in the other, and her eyes are covered with a blindfold. That is Lady Justice. Now, there's some other statues of her that where she does not have a blindfold on, but she has her eyes closed. There's a couple different things there. Yeah, there's all kinds of different variants of this thing, much like there's the Omicron Lady Justice and there's the Delta Lady Justice. But there's basically a sword in scales there. And there is no gender involved here. They're not supposed to see race, color, or creed. Because this comes back again to the being... Basically, the founding principle is that every individual is to be judged, if you will, based on them as an individual, not as their identity, not as some group. Because as each man is a sovereign, or each person is a sovereign, have the right to rule their own life. Being sovereign means you have the right to rule. When we say that Christ is our sovereign, when God is our sovereign, that simply means that we've given him the right to rule. He has the right to rule, period. And we have accepted his right to rule. Because literally, he's not an authoritarian in the sense that he's not going to take over that authority. He's going to allow us, in a sense, to be We can choose to be our own rulers of our own life, which leads to nothing but tragedy because we are nothing but selfish and it ends up being unrighteous living, basically, in his eyes, in the eyes of truth and justice in terms of the universe, all that is good and holy. Or we can choose to relinquish our sovereignty and allow him to be sovereign. And in that process, we accept the sacrifice that was made. Now, there's just a whole, yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole. I'm going to touch on part of theology that, of course, is going to cause all kinds of other issues with people. I can't cover the whole thing. And I always try to break it down to the basics, the simplest form I can, and try to relate it in the simplest form I can. And it's, of course, in doing so, sometimes you leave out a whole section of something, and someone goes, oh, yes, but what about this and that? I have a pointy hat with special little tassels on it, and I can tell you, whatever. We're selfish people that brought sin into the world, which also brings about death, thorns, thistles, death, the whole thing was basically messed up by our sin. And there's no way out of that other than to accept the sacrifice that he made to reconcile us to himself. The wages of sin is death. Choose your own death, or you can choose the death on the cross. That's your choice. He's not going to make that choice for you. But that's all I've got to say about that. So I mean, I've got more to say about it, but not right now. We have the situation here with this trial. It's just a prime example, a total example of how deep the deep state runs and how much political theater is involved even in our justice system. Now, I would contend that it happens on the left. However, there are those on the right, so-called right, in the I'm talking only on the political spectrum, not right and wrong, but on the right's the right, consider the right, the Republicans, who go along to get along because they are up to their elbows in it as well, especially the rhinos. I'm talking about mostly the rhinos. These are individuals that have bought into this whole club idea that they're part of the establishment now. And they know better than us. And they'll act like they're going to fight like crazy when they're in the minority. And they're going to put all the... How many times did they put to a vote? How many times did they bring to the table Obamacare, an abolishment of Obamacare when Obama was still in office? And when Trump won and we had the House and the Senate, and Trump would have signed it, he would have gotten rid of Obamacare. They never really stopped it. All they did was stop the mandate. Well, the mandate's that mandate really puts an end to the Obamacare. It really puts an end to it. I think that was just an executive order, actually, that stopped the mandate. And guess what happens when the next president gets in? The mandate can go away. Now, the Democrats know that that mandate was their death knell. It was a bad idea. It was destroying healthcare. Of course, they don't care. See, the problem is they put these things forward, this legislation. They'll do things like this. They want to destroy the economy because they want to come up with a solution for it. Oh, we have a solution. Everyone just needs to sign on to this, and we'll have this utopian society with everyone, you know, signing on to our new slave program. And this just goes on and on and on. So Glenn... Ms. Maxwell, the prosecutor, one of the lead prosecutors in this trial, prosecutor on the prosecution side, get this, is James Comey's daughter. Let that soak in for a moment. One of the lead prosecutors is James Comey's daughter. James Comey. Now, how many times have we seen this scenario play out? The FBI gathers information, has an investigation, they gather information, and they hold on to it, and they don't do anything with it. This has become the standard modus operandi, as you want to call it, standard operating procedure. Of the FBI and other deep state organizations. And by deep state, I simply mean the bureaucrats who are there, who don't get elected, who are running the show behind the scenes. And how, they're not running the show, they're not making legislation. Oh, yeah. You don't think that they're involved in all that. They are playing political puppetry with those who are in charge. You don't think they have any dirt on Joe Biden and his family, i.e. a laptop, among other things? That's just the things we know. Jeffrey Epstein was known to be working potentially for the British intelligence agency, as well as our own intelligence agencies. And this was never supposed to be known. He was making money from who knows where. Money was coming from nowhere. Nobody knew what he did. Nobody can say what his occupation was. So here we have it. Here we have this this guy with this individual, and you think that we're only hearing about the only events that ever took place was this, like these two or three people here that are, that have come forward. They are redacting the names on the flight logs that have been flying on Jeffrey Epstein's airplane. Now, what we don't know is whether or not they all went to the island or not, but that doesn't matter. We don't know who was on the plane as they were flying in his private jet. Now, you take a 3 or 4 hour flight. Who knows what kind of services he offered to them. You see, it doesn't take much to put this all together. Jeffrey Epstein could very easily have been working with the CIA, with the FBI, with other, you know, whatever it's intelligence, what is British intelligence called? I can't remember what they call it. 007, something like that, I don't know. Whatever he works for, whoever he works for. The Queen. So, think about this. The FBI loves having dirt on people. They love setting people up, i.e. the dossier that they presented to President Trump. Comey walks into the president's office, has a meeting with, alone, with President Trump, and claims that it was Trump's idea. Now, they may have set it up so that Trump, you know, came up with the idea. And he presents to him the dossier. And he says, this is the kind of thing that's out there. I just want you to know this is the kind of thing that's out there. This was a shakedown, okay? This was meant to be a, I'm going to present him with this and see what he says about it. And if he, you know, he kind of freaks out and says, oh, what can I do to hide this? You guys have to help me. That's what Comey was looking for. Comey was looking for the president to bow his knee and be subservient to Comey and the FBI and the CIA and all the intelligence agencies. They needed to get a toehold on this guy because they had nothing on him. I don't care what you think about the guy. He's just a brash individual. I just got done working with a fellow this last week who kept telling me about what a terrible person he was. And he kept saying, even people I know who support him, who were for him and voted for him, would say he was a nasty person. This coming from an individual. Now let me just give you an idea of how about self-awareness and how unself-aware this man was. This is a man who would, in front of everybody in the room, wouldn't stop talking. Talked all the time. Talked over everyone else. And just kept talking. And I'm not saying he was even talking politely. His conversation was full of, let's just say, colorful epithets. No matter where he was, whether it was in a public place, in an airport, or in a restaurant, or in any kind of mixed situation. It goes back to the adage of, it takes one to know one. I don't know of anything this guy said that would be any higher on a level of grading than Donald Trump. And yet he was the high and righteous mighty one that said that Trump is a nasty person. I never heard this person speak of giving anything to anyone ever. Helping anyone else out with anything ever. It was always about him and himself and all of his experiences and everything he got to do. And even the things he was projecting he wanted to do were all about himself. So I don't know. Yeah. He was obviously just the typical mush brain left-wing liberal. And yeah, he was a young kid. So I had to cut him some slack because his brain's not fully developed yet. And literally, I mean that. You know, like your brain doesn't really fully develop until you're like 29. And that is actually the case. I'm not sure about, it's the same for men and women. I think there's some averages there that go a little bit different, but yeah. So you've heard the old saying, if you're not a liberal when you're young, you don't have a heart. If you're not a Republican by the time you're 30, you don't have a brain. So the, I digress on that a little bit because I know of some people who, of course, obviously there's some people who go over 30 and they're, you know, still left-wing liberals because they don't have a brain. But I know some very heart-softened individuals who are also Republicans and they're very young, typically. Not always. It's, you know, it's, there's, again, that group identity thing. Can't just put somebody in a box. But I just did. Unless they're, you know. So, I generalize a lot. Because you have to. There's, you know, 300 million people on the planet, or in the country, on the planet. Yeah, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Can't talk about every single individual. There will be a time, though, when every single individual's life will be placed in, plastered in front of everyone else to see. There'll be, That's my take on the way that whole judgment day is going to go down. Your name's going to be called and everybody's going to see your entire life. Every bit of it. Everybody's going to live through every emotion you ever had all together. Everything you've decided, every choice you've made, every effect that it had on everybody else, you're going to be able to see the effects that it had on, that your life had on everybody else, on the good choices and the bad choices. That's what that day is going to be like. So there you go. Yeah. So the now, if you're covered in the blood, it's all going to be shown to be imputed to him as righteousness, because the glory of God's redemption will be seen in how miserable and how terrible your life really was, and the depth of his love and grace and mercy will be seen. And his ability to redeem that. That's my take on it. So, the Ghislaine Maxwell, Ms. Maxwell trial. Yes, so the flight logs have been redacted. Why? Now, the judge, who is up for a promotion, not only getting a promotion, but also on a list probably for, and they all know this. In fact, Slimy Schumer actually said it publicly. Something to the effect, he was giving a speech about her and basically rewarding her for this, it was very obvious he's involved in this whole thing. Now, Epstein, his tentacles went pretty far and wide and deep. And that's why, you know, we all know Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, didn't hang himself from a 3-foot bedpost where the cameras were just accidentally turned off and the guards were just accidentally fell asleep in a maximum security isolation place where nobody else could get into, but somebody did. How convenient. He would have been safer in the general population than he would have been in isolation. But I digress. I do a lot of digressing. I'm not even sure what that means. So there we have this trial. And if you can't see how the connection goes, this is the obvious way that the FBI operates. They get dirt on someone, then they can manipulate them. You've probably heard of Bohemian Grove. That is a, it is a, it's just, it's nothing but a trap. I would never go there. It's obviously a setup where you go there to be part of the the club, the insiders. And then you find yourself forever beholden to these people. And, you know, they get dirt on you. And then they use it to manipulate you. They can silence you. There's no question, in my opinion, that Judge Roberts somehow, Chief Justice Roberts, as he's called, has somehow been compromised in some way. They've got dirt on the guy. Now, I would not be surprised at all. You know, you have to do these FBI background checks. I've had to go through them for certain jobs I've had. In the process of going through those background checks, the FBI now has your information. They have your fingerprints. They have, you know, they get to look at all the stuff. It gives them the right to go through all of your stuff. And you go on a list. You have a file now with the FBI. Any information that they gather in order for you to get that security clearance or whatever it is you have, they now have access to. So if you rise up into the realms of politicians or politics or whatever you do, they can now use you as an asset. Because if they can find anything on you, they can take, hey, this is where we found this information on you. So you know, you need to behave. You need to do what we tell you to do. Just want you to know this information's out there. People might use this against you. And we have it right here in our breast pocket, right here. We'll keep it right here. We won't let anybody see this. We won't leak it to the press. We might give it to somebody else to leak to the press, James Comey. But I wouldn't feel good about just giving it directly to the press. But I did give it to an associate who works for me to give it to the press. I didn't feel good about just giving it to the press. Isn't that the most ironic thing you ever heard? It's like saying, well, I didn't want to deliver it to you directly, so I gave it to the post office. And they delivered it to you. That's how stupid that is. And yet in his mind, because he teaches ethics, he thought it was okay. It's not unethical for him to do that because he wasn't the one who physically gave it to them. He gave it to someone else with the intention of giving it to the press. Now, we have also been seeing this other guy, and I don't even like to talk about this guy because he's just such a buffoon, and I don't get this. What does this say about the people who vote for this guy? Now, I don't know that this guy wins elections straight up. There have been some issues about voter fraud that have come up recently that it's really been interesting to hear about. And in fact, this kind of goes back to this whole thing about Nixon, actually. But I'm going to just talk about the voter fraud issues, some of the voter fraud issues. They have found wide-sweeping voter fraud issues. this is prior, way, way back. We're talking back in 02 and 03, the 04 election. There were some weird things going on. There are, this one guy was talking about, he's a Democrat. Both these guys were liberals. In fact, the New York Times put out a very, very good scathing report, and it was based on all this information, but talking about blue states and how blue states are the very, very places that are the problem. They have the biggest voter issues, the biggest housing issues, homeless issues. It is absolutely insane. And yet they're the ones who champion all these causes, affordable housing, all these other things, and they're the opposite of everything that they claim. Theater. It's all theater. It's about power. It's about trying to help the little guy. But all the big spenders are in their pocket. And if you don't think that's the case, these rich liberals are the worst in the world. It is amazing to me that they get away with it because they have no pinnings. It's just a end justifies the means mentality. And they feel good about themselves. That's all they care about. So we have this trial going on that is very open. If it's very transparent, if you're looking, it's kind of like looking through a prism. You have to look at the right angle and you can see, you know, see all the colors there. We have this judge who then makes a comment about how much redaction there is going on in these flight logs. Why? Why wouldn't there, if we're talking about being concerned about these minors, these just human trafficking issues that were going on, the crimes that were taking place against these young individuals, the sexual abuse that was going on to minors. If you want to talk about all those things and how egregious that is, then why not go after everybody involved? Especially those who tout themselves to be our leaders, those who are so morally superior to us. They know exactly what to do, what we should do. We have to wear masks. We have to shut down. We have to have the vaccine. We have to do this and that. We have to, you know, pay our taxes. We have to spend money on this. We have to take money away from you to give it to someone else. We have to punish you for making so much money, and then we can give that money to someone else who didn't do anything, because they need to be equity. It needs to be equity. See, they just redefine these terms. This is communism. This is a level playing field is what they want. They don't just want a level playing field. They want a level scoreboard, which is absolutely insane. That's like saying everybody on the track they basically set it up so that everybody has the same distance to run. The distance that they can run, let's say I can run 50 yards in, I don't know what, 10 seconds. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what it would take me. It'd probably take me a minute to run 50 yards. If I took a couple breaks, had a little tea, caught my breath a couple times, had a little CPR in the middle of it, I'd probably get 50 yards probably in a couple minutes. So they give me a 2-minute head start. Someone else can run it in, 50-yard dash. They can run it in 10 seconds, whatever they can. I don't even remember how long it takes to run 50 yards. Probably not even 10 seconds. I don't know. So they set them up to run, in 15 seconds. So that everybody hits the goalpost at the same time. The finish line. We all hit it at the same time. Just one big tie. Here's your participation award. There it is. Everybody gets one. The guy who trained for 10 years, running sprints every day, eating right, dieting, doing everything he could, so he could run that 50-yard dash faster than anybody else. You don't get to. All you get to do is show up at the finish line the same time everybody else does. That's the way that works. Yeah, so we have this issue of, we have the deep state involved in this whole thing. Now, if you look at the rest of the team on the prosecution side of this trial, as well as the defense side of this trial, you will find that it is extremely biased. In fact, I can't find anyone in the entire group. And I know that Reagan even said this. Mr. Reagan said this. He said he can't find a single Republican among the whole bunch out of anybody on the trial. I don't know if this is a jury trial or not. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But now, she's going to be found guilty. Don't get me wrong. I don't know what kind of deal she has worked out. There's no question she will be found guilty. I think she's basically worked out some kind of a deal with them in the process of all this. It's very questionable as to why she's been allowed to be able to make it to trial without being, Epstein'd. Because she has information. So there must be some kind of leniency thing going here for her. And I would venture to guess that the end of her life will not come in a natural sense to her normal deathbed, living to a long life. My bet is there will be some kind of accident or some kind of strange disease. Something will happen to her in the process of all this. And she won't have a chance to write her memoirs or to have any deathbed confessions. It will just be over with. That's my guess. Once she has kind of drifted off into obscurity and nobody really remembers who she was, and you know, a couple years from now when this all goes away, all of a sudden she will just pass away and there'll be a little blurb for, you know, 2 minutes about it, and that's be gone. And along with it, all the other issues of who else was involved, so, you know, i.e. the Clintons, the royal family and their issues over there. Any other politicians? There is a picture that certainly looks like Judge Roberts on the beach at the Epstein Island. Let's just say, you know, there's who knows how far that thing went. Did I mention that James Comey's daughter is one of the lead prosecutors in this case? Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say about that whole thing. Let's go to the COVID report, because, you know, the COVID report is, well, it's a lot of fun. It's, yeah, let's just go to the COVID report and see what's happening with Omicron. The disclaimer, yeah. It's, well, let's just talk about the Omicron thing for a minute. Last night, someone in my family, not my immediate family, but someone in my family, close enough to my family, close enough in my family, he's family, succumbed to the ravages of COVID. He's much younger than I am. He had some other health issues. Nonetheless, he put up a good fight for a couple weeks and just didn't make it. So I'm not saying this flippantly as if it's something that doesn't affect me or affect those around me. Now, the Omicron thing, I continue to hear people say, and in fact, this just happened. Ted Cruz attacked the CEO of United Airlines. And you should see the comments on CNN. The CNN gave a report of, just basically didn't really make any commentary, but all these people commented. Now, you have to understand, most of these companies have what I call bots. They're people. They're not necessarily just bots. Or maybe they are bots. I don't know. Who post comments. They are in a room posting comments on their videos. They get paid to do this 24 hours a day. Well, not 24, but you know what I'm saying. And they simply attack Ted Cruz. Yeah, Ted Cruz going after United blah, blah, for being blah, blah, blah. It's just one thing after one comment after another. Now, if you look carefully at the comments, you'll see that most of the comments come in almost at the same time. And they're usually all within the first 24 hours of the video being posted. Because after that, the video slips off into oblivion and isn't seen much. Now, if you look on any other network other than CNN or MSNBC that reports on something like this, you will find most of the comments are favoring the line of questioning that Ted Cruz had and all the other things that he was saying. He attacked him for the mandate issue, and he caught him. Now, nobody made a comment about the fact that Kirby, the president of United Airlines, flat out lied to him, to his face. He said, we have about 80 pilots out of 10,000 that have been put on permanent or been put on a temporary leave of absence without pay. Ted said, I have a source that says that you've lost this number of people, and that over 300 pilots were on leave of absence. Now, here's the problem with this leave of absence thing. They can remain on leave of absence. The only thing that they're holding on to is their seniority number. They lose their benefits. They lose their travel benefits. They lose everything involved in the company. All they have is an email when they get put on this furlough status with the company. If they get hired back, they will be put back in the position that they were in before. Here's the problem. They can't work in the aviation industry. They sign a non-compete. I don't even think they can go out to the local airport and flight instruct. Maybe they can. They probably would get in trouble for doing so. I don't believe they can work as a pilot, period, because they have to sign a non-compete just to keep their seniority number. Now, I don't know why someone would want to keep their seniority number if the company's treating them that way. I would say goodbye and good riddance. Now, you have to realize some of these guys are making $300,000 a year. That's a big chunk of money. And you get used to that lifestyle and you have all that money coming in and you got, 10 more years to your career. They have a mandatory retirement age of 65. So some 50 or 55-year-old guy who doesn't want this vaccine might realize, in 2 or 3 years he can get his job back at United and go back and do his thing and not lose any seniority, so he can walk on as a captain or walk on back in his position or higher. Seniority is a big deal in the airline. It makes a difference between making $100 an hour or making $300 an hour. Sometimes just within a year of being hired. The issue with all this is that, Ted Cruz attacks this guy and tells him these numbers and basically the numbers that Kirby gave him. I'm not sure. I think it's around 80 people. I'm not sure. I think we've lost about 200 people out of the, 20,000 that we have working for us or whatever it is. Well, Ted's numbers were different, and they were based on, I would probably lean towards Ted's numbers are probably true and probably not even, I bet they're probably more than that. I know that some people have left positions at certain companies, certain jobs. They've just left because they knew the mandates were coming, or because the mandates were coming, they went and got another job right away. They didn't care. They weren't going to sit around and wait for potential religious exemption, or they're not going to sit at home and just sign a non-compete. Because there's plenty of other airlines out there that will hire them that need pilots. I would give up my seniority number just simply because most companies won't hire you if they know you're going to go back to the other company. They don't want you there. That does happen. I know that there's a couple of freight companies that I know of, cargo companies, that will not hire pilots if they have the potential, if they're potentially going to go back to some other employer. They don't want you. Now they lose enough people the way it is, but you're guaranteed you're going to go back if you're on furlough or you're on a temporary furlough like that. It's like they don't want to hire you, put you all through all the training, and then a year later you're gone. It's just not worth it to them. So, So the mandates are really where we're at right now with this thing. And it's still the Omicron thing. Now, of course, everybody says, well, we want to protect people. We want to save lives. Kirby's whole thing was, we want to save lives. We believe we've saved lives by doing this, by mandating the vaccine. Really? Okay. If you're going to put your head in the sand and continue to believe this idea, and I believe it is just an absolute ironic, moronic thing to say. Let's call the vaccine what it is. If you take the vaccine, you're protecting yourself. You're not protecting anyone else. Because all of the studies and now all of the normal life stuff that we're seeing, let's look at the way Omicron, this very distinct variant, is spreading around the world. Very quickly, sweeping the globe. How is it doing that? Well, I would venture to say it's mostly through aviation. It could be on, ships and shipping people. It doesn't take too long to go across the ocean, but it certainly would take a while. Most of the travel in the world is done through air travel. Now, air travel internationally, right now, almost every country on the planet, you have to have the vaccine. You either have to be fully vaccinated and or be tested. So if you're, in most cases, if you're fully vaccinated or you have a vaccine passport, you don't have to be tested. Because, of course, you're vaccinated. But now what we're finding is the rate of infection among the vaccinated is just as high. You just don't know it. But we're not testing vaccinated individuals. You may not know it if you're carrying it, which makes it almost more dangerous in some respects. I'm not saying it's bad for you if you're vaccinated. I'm saying it's more dangerous in terms of now it's sneaking around on hosts that we don't know about. And don't say it isn't, because Omicron is everywhere. Supposedly on the backs of people who've been vaccinated. At least that's what the numbers say. If you look at Dr. John Campbell, the guy that just looks at numbers, and I disagree with where he comes out with some of his conclusions on his numbers, but he does go over the numbers in terms of statistics. Now you have to realize this is like counting votes. I just saw this thing about voter fraud. They were talking about counting votes, and you count, they count the ballots, they go in and do an audit. The problem is there are ballots that they can't verify. This is where it gets sketchy. Yeah, we counted this number of ballots, and we're going to go back in and recount them. The counting machine did work properly. It counted all the ballots. Problem is the ballots. Where do these ballots come from, and who signed these? And how can someone's birthday be January 1st, 2015. How does that work? And there weren't just one or two of those. So this stuff happens a lot. It's the same thing with a vaccine passport. Now, if you're looking at the numbers simply based on the numbers that you're given, that's great. What are the real numbers? Now, we're told that, we're not even given numbers, other than a few studies that have been done, and those have been basically swept under the rug. They're not published or put out there because the vaccine is safe and effective, and that's the mantra. And if you go away from that, you're an anti-vaxxer. It's safe and effective. Let's look at those two words. One is effective. Effective in what way? We were under the impression that it would protect you from getting COVID, spreading COVID. Neither one of those are true. You can get it and you can spread it. Now, when we talk about symptom minimalization, yes, it will minimize your symptoms. It probably will keep you from being in the hospital. However, that's not what we expected from the vaccine. I think, and we're still playing off this idea that what we expect from the vaccine is somehow what we're getting, and we are not. When Joe Biden comes out just last week, I played the video for you, and says, well, let me see if I can find it again. I'll just play it again. I'm not going to be able to find it because it's not, and let's see if I can get it here. It's right here somewhere. And it's probably not going to be in the same place. There we go. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play this again just because it needs to be heard.
Everybody talks about freedom and not to have a shot or have a test. Well, guess what? How about patriotism? How about making sure that you're vaccinated so you do not spread the disease to anybody else?
How about making sure you're vaccinated so you do not spread the disease to anyone else? That is a flat-out lie. That is a flat-out lie. See, that's what we expect from the vaccine. That's not what we're getting from the vaccine. In fact, Omicron seems to be way off in terms of the way this vaccine is working. They're talking about having a whole new vaccine. Fauci himself said we may have to look at having a completely different vaccine or a vaccine that covers all COVID variants. That's the latest report. But when you got the, you know, mashed potato brains over here saying you need to be vaccinated so you can protect everybody around you. So you protect it from, you know, protect people from getting it, or you're not going to spread it that way. That's baloney. The first person on the news, Fauci made the mistake, in my opinion, of coming out on the news and saying, we found someone in California has tested positive for the Omicron variant. The person was fully vaccinated. Oops, probably shouldn't have said that. Is this one of those breakthrough cases? Makes it sound like it's really rare. It's not. There are now two studies. The one I have not read the report on the other one. Both proving the same thing. Control group was 6,000 people. The number of people fully vaccinated was 6,000 people, and the unvaxxed people were 6,000 people, and they tested them all over the course of, I think it was every 3 days for a month. The numbers of infections were identical. Those who tested positive among the vaccinated were the same percentages as those who were unvaccinated. Period. So there's no immunity, so to speak. There's nothing that will keep you from spreading it. And I know there's a difference between T cells and B cells. B cells apparently are some kind of a memory cell that is able to produce antibodies. Now they're saying, I saw a report this morning that said that if you have natural immunity, if you have the antibodies, it will not protect you against Omicron. Are we even talking about the same virus at this point? Or is this a completely different thing? It almost sounds like as if it's a very different thing. Now, everybody who's been vaccinated, who's contracted this thing, and most of the people who've contracted it have been vaccinated, by the way. About 80% of the people who've gotten Omicron have been vaccinated. I have not understood the reports coming out of Africa. Now, Africa has not had because that's where it came from, South Africa, has not had a sharp rise in hospitalization. But they are on fire with Omicron right now. Everybody, it's everywhere in South Africa. Hospitalizations are not. Now, hospitalizations in America, in Northern America, in the U.S. specifically, are way up. However, they're starting to drop off now. This is the typical way this thing goes. It sharply rises, kind of plateaus for a short period of time, and then everything drops off because the virus kind of burns through really quickly. Which is what we're experiencing right now. So the drop-off has begun, but the Delta virus is pushing all that. It's the Delta variant that seems to be what's pushing hospitalizations up. Will Omicron be the same thing? That's the real question. It's kind of where we're at with all that. Now, I can draw my own conclusions. You can draw your conclusions. But I think that Ghislaine Maxwell is guilty.
How dare you?
I think that James Comey is guilty.
How dare you?
I think that the Clintons are all guilty.
How dare you?
Yeah. I think that there are a lot of, well, I think that even Joe Biden and all of his minions, all the people who support him, everybody who thinks that he's just the greatest, he's just perfect. According to Nancy Pelosi, he's just perfect. He's the best leader ever. He's the perfect person for the, he was born for this time. He's the perfect leader to be put in his position right now. He's just perfect. I think she's guilty.
How dare you?
Yeah, they're all guilty. Everybody's guilty. Yeah. Outrageous. So, I digress. There's a, there's a lot going on. Oops, sorry. Got the music kind of cut in there a little bit high there for a second. The band is ready to go, ready to play, ready to push me off the stage. So, yeah. I am going to, I'm going to call this a show. Now, this is Thursday. It feels like Friday to me because I usually only have a few days at home to be able to get some things done. And I usually end up traveling again. I've got more days off right now. I've got four off, which is unusual. However, I still might leave on Saturday because my car is stuck someplace. I got to go get that with the car because I ended up having to travel a weird way around. And I left my car at one airport and I actually came back from another airport. So it's kind of a mess right now. So I got to figure that out. I've got a spare car, so that's not an issue. And my wife's got a car, so and I got a truck, and I got a motorcycle, and I got a boat. Boat's a little bit hard to deal with. God bless everybody. Have a great day.